My ultimate goal is heaven.
I'm there, friend. I'm there.
Here you go. What's your name?
Christian. Don Talley.
Don? I'm James. That's our gospel. We call it our gospel wagon, but that's our house. My wife and
it's
I
like
live.
Like you're going to Alaska.
My wife and I live in that. I'm a traveling street preacher. I travel America and we preach the gospel to anybody that'll listen. We go to public events and we preach. We go outside religious places. We go in the street and hold gospel signs. And we basically call people to what Christ has done and the word of God. And that means because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection and his sacrifice for coming into the world, he said, I came to seek and save the lost and save sinners. So we call people not to church systems because these are all made of man, but we call them to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So we're very different as far as a ministry goes. We're like the early New Testament saints. We call people out of the world and
You're like Paul then.
Well, yeah, that's who we model ourselves after. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Baptist, Lutheran, Roman Catholic, Mormon, Jehovah Witness, these are all man-made denominations that Jesus didn't start. So we just point people to the biblical gospel to go backwards to that first century model, see what Christ established, and then you got to come out of the world, you got to come out of all these pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter, you got to come out of the culture, politics, sports,
actually,
entertainment.
The church that I go to is Christ Tabernacle in Princeton, Kentucky. They go to Acts, and we spent a whole year on Acts because he was going through how Paul traveled.
Yeah, Paul traveled.
But I'm just saying, you're on then. That's what it's all about.
Did you camp here last night?
No, you're not. Well, you can. I didn't. You can stay here overnight, but I.
Well, we were just wondering. Saying, can you?
Yeah.
Really? They let you camp
do
overnight?
Do you have an iPad or anything?
Yeah.
If you look up Camper Endom.
Camper
Endom. It's on.
Honey, have you heard of Camper Endom?
Oh, Camp Endium, yeah.
Camp Endium.
If you look it up. You can stay here overnight.
Oh, I didn't know that. We're not from this area. We travel all over the country.
But you should use that if you travel.
Yeah. We say, what, you're from Kentucky?
Well, I actually am a retired school teacher from Michigan. I taught in Southfield, Michigan. I'm up here to do a little grouse hunting.
Oh, I see.
I'm a bird dog. And
I see.
I'm just traveling around right now. I'm getting organized a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's our gospel card. You can go to don'tperish.com. And we just teach people, like I said, that I'm going to say something really bold. Ready? And if I'm wrong, I want you to prove me wrong. Ready? I don't know of church systems in America, people meeting in a building. After 15...
It has nothing to do with a building.
But wait, after 15 years of travel, I don't know anybody that's keeping the commandments of God, coming out of the world and preach the biblical gospel. What we find is, otherwise we'd be part of them, we'd be united to them, we'd be traveling and preaching and sending people back to them. What we find is a lot of people that the modern churchy, I call churchianity, here's the world, here's churchianity, they've mingled with the world, with sports, politics, entertainment, cultural holidays, how they dress, how they act, how they talk. Whereas Jesus said, my sheep, follow me, hear my voice, follow me. And he leads you by the Spirit and the Word out of the world, out of the church system. So if you know of any, you mentioned a church body, if you know of one that's fully biblical or wants to be, email it to me.
You're probably never going to find a church that just agrees completely. But just find something that's close.
Yeah, but here's the thing. See, this is the problem. We really believe in Scripture. Paul says, let me ask you this real quick. How many gods are there?
One.
How many words are there? In the Bible, meaning the Bible or other truth or just the Bible?
It says God, I don't know.
Right, so just his word. How many saviors are there?
One.
How many spirits are there?
Well, you got the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so from God, I'm saying, yeah. How many gospels are they? Are there? There's one. How many bodies are there per Paul in Corinthians?
I don't have all that down.
He said there's one. So here's my point, Don.
I had a friend up here who would have talked with you.
Yeah. No, here's my point. There's one God, one Jesus, one gospel, one word, one spirit, one body. Paul says in 1
I'll go along with that.
Yeah. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 that we should all speak the same things and be fully united. So if you and I were brothers and we strive hard in the word, whatever I have right, you could see it and grasp it. And whatever you have right, I could see it and grasp it. And here's the key. If you and I both got something wrong, if we would strive together and see it, we could get it right. I actually know people that we are fully united in doctrine. 100%, because we've taken the time to strive in the Word, to love God, love each other, and say, hey, here's what I see, here's what you see, go refine it, and we walk in the Word, because Peter says there's one interpretation. And so I'd lovingly just challenge you to go a little bit deeper on that mindset and go, there's 35 or 40,000 Christian denominations.
I can believe it.
How is there so many when there's one God, one Word, one Spirit, one truth, and Paul says, be perfectly united? What I would tell you is they've all compromised to allow differences. Now, you're a school teacher. Ready? You're a school teacher.
You let me answer the question. I understand everything you're saying. It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, you just got little things. For instance, you got the Church of Christ, and you have another church, the Church of Christ. They don't play music.
Right. Yeah.
It's just little things that separate the denominations.
But I don't think they're little if they're doctrine.
Honest question.
Yeah. They're not little if they're doctrine.
Do you believe there's going to be more than one denomination in heaven?
No.
See, I do.
Ready? I always say this, I'm a street preacher. There'll be no Catholics in heaven. There'll be no Baptists in heaven. There'll be no Church of Christ people in heaven.
Really?
You know who's going to be in heaven? It's the blood-bought, born-again saints that don't cling to that. Because if you cling to man-made ways, you're not clinging to Christ. So I'm not saying, hear me clear, I'm not saying nobody from the Catholic Church won't repent and come out. Nobody from the Baptist Church won't repent and come out. Nobody from the Church of Christ won't repent and come out. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you're not going into heaven as a Roman Catholic. You're not going into heaven as a Baptist. So you have to come out of that, because Jesus said in Mark 7, if you worship God in false traditions, you worship God in vain.
I go along with something. I don't believe there's any denominations.
Yeah, and so we don't need all these names.
I don't believe when you go to heaven, the Catholics are going to be over here.
Right. There won't be any Catholics, because they have a total false doctrine.
Well,
if they don't repent of that, they have a totally false, different gospel, sir. Totally false.
I guess
false.
I think there'll be different denominations.
No. Jesus said few, and that English word, you'll love this.
I know that somebody said, I heard somewhere, they're only getting 144,000.
No. That's
I'm just saying, you hear all this stuff.
That's God's workers.
Everyone's got their own beliefs.
But here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Ready? You'll love this. You're a teacher. Did you teach English by any chance?
Well, I taught social studies.
Okay. The word few in English, look at the Greek word. You know what it actually means? It means few. But if you take it a little further, puny. A puny number of people are going to find eternal life according to Jesus. Most everyone, including the religious places, are going to be turned away, because he tells us in Matthew 7, Lord, we went to church, we did signs, we did wonders, we did all this in your name, and he says, I never knew you. And here's what he says, you workers of iniquity. So anybody that claims the name of Christ but continues in sin, whether it's stealing, drunkenness, homosexuality, pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter, one lie, Revelation.
When you were brought up as a child, what religion did you go
to? I was a pagan.
A pagan?
I mean, no religion.
When did you convert?
No religion. When I was 18, my family was a backslidden Roman Catholic family. My mom was. My dad was agnostic. I struggled through my teenage years because I saw the world hopeless. I saw it ready to burn. Before I even knew what the Bible says, it's going to burn the earth up. I said, the earth is going to be burned up. It's hopeless. And everybody told me I was a wasted teenager because I was just had negative views. When I was 18, someone told me about Jesus. They didn't give me the biblical gospel. But they told me about Jesus, that God sent Christ and Christ made the way. And I went, this makes sense. And I looked into Christ and I looked into the Word of God. And I should have kept going when I was 18, but I didn't. I believed who he was. I repented to a certain degree, but here's what happened to me. I got involved in man-made religion, and the pastors and the people stumbled me.
What churches?
I was involved in a Pentecostal church for a while, then some non-denominationals. But what I saw was that they said with their lips this on the stage. But then behind the scenes, when you try to talk to them about Jesus, the pastor said, I do that all week. I want to go fishing. I want to go hunting. I want to do this. They stumbled me. For 25 years, Don, I left, and I was never born again back then. I left for 25 years, and I was in and out of the world. I was in the world, in and out of church systems a little bit. Each time I went back to the church systems, more people stumbled me with their sin, their hypocrisy, and I'll take ownership. I loved my sin. I was drinking. Let me finish the story. I was drinking. I was partying. When I was 45, I said, I came to myself like the prodigal son, and I said, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of looking at religious people, religious system. I'm tired of living a compromised life. I'm going to repent. I'm going to follow Christ with all that I am. And you know what? I was born again then. All those years I was holding like the rich man, holding on to my hobbies, my hunting, my fishing, my money. I was in, I was a purchasing agent, and then also I was in manufacturing. Then I went into sales later, to answer your question. And I owned my own business for a while. But I was holding on. At 45, I repented. And you know what I did? I did then what I should have did way back then. I said no to church. And I said, I'm getting in the Word of God. And when I started studying the Word of God with my wife, who was born again about 3 weeks behind me, we got in the Word of God and we started seeing all the things we were doing, Christmas, Easter, these false gospels, the worldliness, all of this stuff was not of God. And we decided, you know what? Christ says worship in spirit and truth. He means it. And when we would approach any pastors to talk about this, they'd say, no, we don't talk. Because see, the truth, Don, you know what the truth does? It empties buildings out. The buildings are there.
You got a cell phone?
I do. Yeah. My
I'm gonna give you my friend's name.
No, you know what? Here.
We weren't getting along because
here's what I'm gonna do. I'll give you an extra gospel card. You give him my gospel card, have him call me, email me.
He's got some kind of sleep disorder.
Oh, okay.
That's a small camper I got. Yeah. We were gonna go up here and for a month and mess around and we get in these conversations you're talking about now and then. He's telling me, well, the Antichrist is going to be Charles.
Is going to be what?
Prince Charles, now it's King
Charles.
Oh,
yeah. Who can know that?
I said.
Who can know that? That's foolishness to say stuff like that.
I know, but when he said that to me, I said.
That, you know what that's called? Again. That's vain jangling. This is how false prophets are made. Many men in the false evangelical world, when that thing happened in 2020 with Trump, a whole bunch of them went on record and said, oh, Trump's still going to be president for the next 4 years. What? We're headed into the next election cycle. Trump's not president. And they all look like fools because...
Really don't know who's going to be president.
Because, well, no, they were saying Trump was going to remain president. That the election was going to be overthrown.
Yeah.
And so that's foolish to make
that.
Those type
that
of...
I my brother. I said, no, I said,
that makes a false prophet. That makes a false prophet. But anyway, so that's my testimony. When I was 45, I decided to get in the Word of God. God gave me a new heart and a new mind. And ever since then, we've been studying the Word of God. And eventually, we said, we got to get debt free. We got to set ourselves free to go do ministry. I retired early. We sold everything we own. We turned our van into a house. And we travel the country for free. We don't take anyone's money. I support myself. And we preach the gospel, and we desperately plead with people to come out of the world, come out of the religious systems, and follow and seek Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, I love this verse. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Righteousness is what's right to God. So that means our time, our money, our effort, who we associate with, how we dress, how we talk. Everything we do has to be under the right standing of God. When you were a teacher, I'm pretty sure you had a book of rules and code of standards and ethics, and you had to do it all according to what they said. If you walked outside of that, you'd be in trouble. I ask people all the time with jobs, hey, you got rules on your job? They're like, oh, we got tons of rules. And I go, what happens if you don't follow them? Oh, we get fired. I said, what happens if you don't follow the speed limits and you don't follow your town laws, your state laws, your federal laws? Oh, you go to jail. I said, why does everybody think God winks at his law and says, now because Jesus came and died, you don't have to keep it no more? Actually, Jesus raised the standard. Under the Old Testament, it says, don't lay with another woman. Under the New Testament, it says, don't even look and think it. So everybody nobody realizes that God raised the standard, and Jesus said, strive to be perfect. But perfect, you know what that means? No, hold on.
Jesus died for our sins.
Yeah, no. Hold on. That word perfect, it's a bad English translation. Always look at the Greek and the Hebrew words. That word perfect actually means mature and complete. So it doesn't mean you're never going to fall short. It doesn't mean you're never going to make a mistake or choose sin to have to repent of. What it means is, if you're walking mature and complete, you don't live in sin. You don't live in pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter. You don't live in false Sunday church. You don't live in the world watching sports and politics and TV and news that's full of garbage and sin and Antichrist mantra. You walk in holiness. And then when you do, I'm not a perfect man, when you do choose or fall into sin, you come to yourself quickly and you say, I don't want that for my Savior. I'm walking as a Christian. I've been doing this for years. I should know better. You repent. He washes you clean and you turn from it.
So how many years you been doing this?
15. I'm almost 60.
Wow.
I'm almost 60. So that's my plea to you is to the Bible says examine yourself to see what are you living for? What are you spending your daily effort on? Are you loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? If we're not doing that, we have to ask ourselves, is the Holy Spirit really in us? Are we born again? Because if we are, look at Jesus' life, look at Paul's life, look at Peter's life, look at John's life. They were focused on the kingdom of God with all that they were. And that's what I hope to encourage people to do. Because this life is fleeting, and he's the only way. We can't have two masters. We can't live for ourselves. We can't please ourselves. We can't be part of this cultural world system. We have to repent and come out of the kingdom, come out of the kingdom of Satan, which is this world, and follow after the kingdom of God. There's only two kingdoms, right, Don? The kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of God. And I always ask people, which one are you living in? Which one are you following with all that you are?
Do you believe there's a hell?
Oh, absolutely there's a hell. Jesus described hell more than heaven. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I had Jehovah's Witness come to my house and didn't talk with it. I talked to him about that. One time I was talking to one, he got up and he just left.
Yeah. Yeah, watch out for them. They're tricky. The Mormons and them are very good.
I have a place in Utah.
Yeah. Yeah, they are very good.
I left a Book of Mormons and I said, well,
It is. It's mysticism.
They really got upset. I said,
"Oh yeah,
how can you believe this? Well, these people swore that. I don't know those people."
No, it's mysticism. It's occultism. It goes against the Bible. It says Christ is not the Son of God, not truly God. It's a total false religion. But I will give this to the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. Most of them know their false doctrine better than any regular Christian knows theirs, and they'll twist the average Christian into a pretzel theologically.
Yeah,
they'll.
When I talk to the one, I could feel the evil spirit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They definitely are. On three or four different occasions, I've had two elders, and I talk to them. They call them elders. They're like 18 years old, 21 years old. They call them elders. They always send out like the new elder with a little bit older elder. And three or four different occasions, and I'm boasting in Christ here. I'm happy to say this. My wife is a witness. On three or four different occasions, I've had the young elder crying, witnessing. Crying. The older elder standing like this, staring at me like he could look right through me. And this young elder's going, what you're saying is hurting my feelings. I said, I want to hurt your feelings with the Word of God. I said, this is a false religion you're following. You're being deceived.
Is this the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses?
Mormons. I've had three or four of them crying.
Well, I could tell I hurt their feelings. And they
yeah.
Said, are you going to go to the Mormon? I said, I'm not going to Mormon crap. No.
Yeah. Now, talk about the deception. When I was growing up as a kid, I used to watch TV. I didn't know nothing about Christ. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. Nobody taught me. Nobody showed me. I used to watch the Mormon Tabernacle Choir on TV. And that was my idea of godly, holy people. And I used to think, wow, they really love God. I had no knowledge. Without knowledge, God says his people are destroyed. But when you have knowledge and you study and you test, you see that the Mormons are wrong. You see the Baptists are wrong. You see the United Church of Christ is wrong. You see, and I go back to what I said. Please email me or have your friend email me a building in America where people want the full doctrine of God or they're keeping it. My wife wants to come there. We want to visit. We want to encourage them. We'll support them. We'll go be missionaries for them. I can't find that anywhere in America.
Where are you headed next?
Currently, we're headed south. I got a brother in central Wisconsin we're going to go see. We've been hanging around there. But we'll be headed.
So are you going this way?
No, we're going up this way.
You're going down 75 Michigan?
I think we're headed towards Escanaba. We're headed towards Escanaba, and then we're going to go out that way. But
are you going to the Lower Peninsula?
No, we'll probably go back into Wisconsin, and then I think when we leave, when it gets winter here, there's no good events, and people don't want to stand outside and talk. So we head south, and we go to Georgia, Texas, Florida, North Carolina. South Carolina, and we spend our winters down there preaching all over.
Now, my friend's a Messianic Jew. In other words, he practices the Jewish traditions, but he believes in Christ.
Yeah, Messianic Jew.
And he was actually raised Roman Catholic.
Yeah. Well, good for him that he acknowledges Christ.
But I'm just saying, it's...
But doctrine. You've got to get to doctrine. Doctrine means instructions. And in 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul says, keep to sound doctrine by which you are saved and those that hear you. Now think about that. How are we saved by sound doctrine? Well, we're not saved by working our way to heaven. We can't do that. We're saved by the grace of God through faith. But it's not faith alone, grace alone. It is always a saving faith. That is the grace of God is always, always, it is always exemplified by works of holiness and obedience. So if we claim to have Christ in us, we will not walk and live in sin. We will test everything and we will leave sin. The Bible actually says, this is a grave warning, Hebrews 10:26, if you keep willful sin. That means if it's sin, you know it's sin. Looking at a woman, stealing from a gas station, lying, and you keep doing it. Pagan holidays, bad associations that God says don't have. If you keep doing those, the Bible says there's no sacrifice for those. Because what you have to do is you have to repent of those and hand those sins to Christ for Him to cleanse you. If you carry them around with you and keep doing them, you're not going to be cleansed.
Yeah. True repentance and just saying it.
Yeah.
Two different things.
Absolutely. It's been great talking to you. I love you.
Okay.
Let me know if I can ever help you. Have your friend contact me. I'd love to hear from you. If you ever want a Bible study, you ever want to go deep in the Word of God, I'm here for you.